It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. This week, the weather's starting to change, and I think there are a lot of people that that are going into a time period to where they're not going to be able to play as much golf as they would want to, weather-wise, getting out on the golf course. And I think these kind of winter months, if you are kind of not able to get out and play as much as you want because of the weather, I think the winter months are a good time for you to do some real, real work on your golf swing. So if you could think of, when the weather starts to get bad, it's if you live in a place where the climate is, warm in the summer and not so great during, the next 4, 5, 6 months, you can use that as kind of a off season, right? You can use that as an off season, similar to what a tour player would do to say, okay, listen, I have my season where I play and then I use this time. I think a lot of people think, oh, okay, the weather's getting bad now. I can't go out the way I used to. And it's somewhat of a negative because you can't get out on the golf course. But you could kind of flip the switch and say, let me see this as a positive. Let me find a way to take what is going on in my golf game, the stuff that I've seen, when I've been playing, and then really break down the areas where I can improve. And if you're a regular listener to the pod, you always hear me talk about the difference between technique and execution. And I spend an enormous amount of time talking to players about executing, that technique is important, but you need to learn how to execute. And I think if you are in a climate to where you're not going to be able to get out as regularly and play the game, you could use this time as, okay, this is my technique time. This is the time where I'm going to go ahead and whatever I'm working on in my golf swing, this is the time where I'm going to say, okay, listen, I'm not going to be so much outcome oriented here. I'm going to be very much concerned on fixing whatever these problems are. And I think there's a number of different ways. I also think this is a time where a lot of people are hitting golf balls. We're going into a time period to where maybe you're hitting a lot of golf balls into a net. So, and I think there are ways when you're hitting into nets to try and work on a number of different things. But if you are going to be working a lot inside and you are going to be working a lot just hitting balls into a net, it's tough to see where the golf ball is going. If you're on a simulator, you can kind of see it, but that's all kind of based off of, algorithms and simulations and stuff like that. But what I think is really important in this off season is, first of all, do a yardage check, right? And find, if you don't have one, find and get access to a launch monitor and say, okay, I'm going to go through and do a yardage check, because I think over the course of a year, your yardages change. They kind of go up and down. There's times where you're swinging really, really well and you'll be hitting the golf ball really, really good, really, really solid. And then there's times where you're not. So I think off season and during these winter months, it's a time to really dial in the yardages. Now, if you've ever been on a launch monitor before or you've got access to a launch monitor, I think what you want to do is do it in reverse. So pick out, ideally you would want to go through this with your entire golf bag, right? Every club in your bag, get an idea of how far it goes. But if you don't have the time to do that, look at what your scoring clubs are. Look at the clubs that you tend to use the most in practice, when you're on the golf course, whatever. But get the clubs that you're using at your home course on a regular basis. Most golfers are not traveling golfers, right? They kind of play, they're not like tour players to where they're playing a different course every week. And the test that that course demands is going to be different from week to week. Some, it's going to not be super, super long. Maybe the rough isn't super, super thick. Maybe the fairways are wide. Maybe there it's a wide open golf course. Maybe it's a tree line golf course. Whatever that golf course is, I think that's one of the things that you want to try and figure out. Okay, where do I play most of my golf, and what type of shots and what type of game does that course demand? First of all, if you can get on a launch monitor, you want to make sure that you know how far you hit your wedges. Those are the scoring clubs. You're going to hit a lot of those. I see big, big gaps in how far people think they hit their wedges versus how far they actually do hit their wedges. And again, work, if you are going to get access and work on a launch monitor, work at it in reverse. I think a lot of, I think some of the combines out there are really, really good. You've heard me talk about Rapsodo, the launch monitor that I use, and they've got a combine. I think it's really, really good. But one of the things I think you can do is do a combine, but do it in reverse, okay? So whatever club that you're using, blind test that club. And what I mean by that is get a club that you have an idea of whatever it is. Let's say it's your 56 degree wedge and you've got an idea of how far you hit that. So let's blind test that. Let's hit 5, 10, maybe 20 balls and then go ahead and say, okay, let's say you think you hit your sand wedge 95 yards. Before you actually look at how far your sand wedge is going, blind test it and say, okay, I'm going to go through, you know, like I said, 5, 10, 15, 20 ball challenge. You're hitting shots to a target and you're just blind testing. You're just hitting these. And try and do this without any kind of mechanical feels, not really working on anything from a technique standpoint. This is just, let me get my wedge, this 56 degree wedge. Let me get this 9 iron. Let me get this 8 iron, the 7 iron, the 6 iron, whatever the club is. Let me blind test it first from a yardage to see if I have a really good understanding as to how far I hit my club. And then you could even do this yourself. So on every ball, hit it and on your phone or on a scorecard or something, write down how far you think that went. Okay, so you're gauging how far the golf ball went off of the swing that you put on it. So you're gauging that off of how much the ball is curving, how much the ball is spinning, whether you hit the golf ball solid or not. But again, I think a lot of players are very, and I've said this before on the pod, I think a lot of golfers were very influenced by what we see on television. And we think, okay, well, if Justin Thomas has got a wedge in his hand and he's hitting it from, you know, he's got pitching wedge and he's hitting it from 155, 160. And then you hear that enough times. You hear Rory McIlroy doing the same thing. You hear any of the players that you watch. You hear the same numbers over and over again for specific clubs. I think we get baited into that because if you watch a lot of golf, you're watching players hit on a lot of par threes and there'll be a lot of similar clubs on the par threes. You rarely do you have a par three where there's three players in the group and there's a 20 to 30 yard difference in how far they hit the club into the par three. When you watch golf on television, whether it's men's, women's, champs tour, wherever, you're going to see a lot of players, especially on par threes, hitting kind of the same yardage and hitting the same type of clubs. So what you want to try and do is you want to find out how far you hit all of your clubs. And that's why I think it's important to do this blind. And I think it would be really good for, you know, a 10, 15, 20 ball challenge. Get a scorecard, get a piece of paper, whatever the club is. Let's say it's a 9 iron. You have an idea in your head of how far you hit the 9 iron. So write down on a piece of paper, 9 iron, and then how far you think you hit your 9 iron, right? And then go ahead and hit a shot, write down what you thought the yardage was. Then go through that. If you can get 10, if you can get 15, if you can get 20, and then you've written down how far you think it went. Then go to a launch monitor and see what the difference is. What is the gap between that? Because I think a lot of time, and ask yourself, did you hit this shot solid? So that's the other thing you could do. You'd blind test it, you grab your 9 iron, and you could hit the shot and say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst contact and 10 being really, really good contact. And give yourself a score out of 1 to 10. If it's really not good contact and stuff, maybe that's a 5. If it's almost dead straight out of the middle, but you feel like it's a really good shot, maybe that's an 8. And you're writing down based off of the contact, give yourself a score of 1 to 10. Then when you go through and look at the yardages you're hitting it, maybe, okay, and I've seen this happen, maybe the yardage that you think you hit it, the only way you're able to get that yardage is if the contact is at a 10. So it's perfect, perfect contact, which For the majority of golfers, that's very difficult to do. We don't hit the golf ball solid all the time. And golf really is a game of misses. So I think having a good idea of how far you hit your clubs is vital. And I think that if you're hitting into a simulator, it's going to give you a number. If you're able to use a launch monitor, I think that's a very good way to do it. Or if you're on the driving range, pick out some targets, get your rangefinder out, pick a target out, and then figure out, okay, that's my 150-yard target. Maybe that's my 200-yard target. Maybe that's my 175 target. Maybe that's my 100-yard target, whatever the numbers are. But what I do think is important is getting that feedback, but the feedback based off of your feels. We always get asked how we create feel, right? How do I create feel in my golf swing? And I think one of the ways you do it is you figure out, okay, what is your perception of how far you hit the golf ball and how far do you really hit the golf ball? And I think the difference between those can sometimes be really, really different. I would do this with all of my scoring clubs, so my wedges. If you want to baseline it, you could do this. I mean, if you baseline your 9-iron, if you baseline your 7-iron, if you baseline your 5-iron, you're going to be able to fill in the gaps between the other swings. But a yardage check, really, really important. If you're a regular listener to the pod, you know that I've been drinking AG1 for about a year now. Why did I start doing that? I really wanted to try and work on my wellness, my eating habits. And as soon as I started drinking AG1 daily, I noticed a massive, massive spike in my energy levels. Why? That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2001, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Listen, I've talked about this. I travel an enormous amount. I'm probably on the road over 20 weeks a year. It's hard for me to have the same kind of fitness and wellness regimen that I have when I'm at home. And that's what AG1 has really done for me, because I've said this before, I don't eat a lot of vegetables. I should, but trying out AG1, it's made a massive, massive difference. And it's something that I think you can do as well. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. That's what I do. Take it on the road with me. Go to drinkag1.com/CH3. That's drinkag1.com/CH3. Check it out if you want to improve your daily health and fitness regimen. Looking at how you hit the golf ball, what is your shape? Look back if you're someone that's kind of shutting things down and aren't really going to be playing a lot of golf on the golf course, not really going to be playing a lot of competitions. Say to yourself, okay, over the last season where I've been playing a lot of golf, what does my golf look like? Am I consistently hitting the golf ball from left to right? Am I consistently hitting the golf ball from right to left? Am I slicing the golf ball where it's over curving to the right? Am I hooking the golf ball? Is it over hooking to the left? And the majority of the people I think that are listening right now are probably going to raise their hand and say, okay, the predominant shot that I hit is left to right. The predominant miss I have is a slice, right? So what that is that's when the path starts to get, when you slice the golf ball, if you're a right-handed golfer, that's when that path starts to get excessively to the left. That's where the club face can start to come in very, very open. I think the reason why the club face comes in such an open position for most golfers is because the path is so far to the left that if you actually had the face square or released it, because the path is so far left of where you're trying to go, the golf ball would just go miles to the left. So as the clubs get longer, after we get after, you know, wedge, 8, 9, 8 iron, 7 iron, I think you can get away with it. I think a lot of times people will say, listen, I just kind of started a little bit left of my target and then it kind of fades a little bit to the right. But as those clubs get longer, 6, 5, 4, your hybrids, your three woods, your drivers, I think for most people listening, the path is going to be left. That face is going to be open and you're going to be hitting a shot that is going to be going dramatically from left to right. If that is your problem, I think that's during the season, you've got to be able to execute and say, okay, even though I'm going to try and work on that shot, it's probably going to be tough for me to work on it and really get it out of my game. So what you're going to do is say, okay, I know that my path is excessively left to right. I see my divots down to the left, feel everything kind of steep. So what I'm going to do when I'm just hitting golf balls, whether I'm just hitting golf balls on the range, whether I'm hitting golf balls into a net, whether I'm hitting golf balls into a simulator, but I'm going to go work on my path. So again, if you have access to a launch monitor that gives you the path, you're going to be able to look at that number and see what that path number is. But what I do think is really, really important is to say, okay, let's try and work just as a generalization. Let's say you're hitting golf balls into a net, you're hitting golf balls into a simulator, and you're just basically, you know that that path is out to in, you know that that path tends to get left to right, tend to get those divots, tend to get steep. So there are a lot of different drills that you can do, but one of my favorites is if you've got an iron in your hand, go ahead and take your setup, take a head cover, take a floating noodle that you would use in a pool, something that's soft. You could use a club box and then place that on the outside of the ball parallel to your target line. So it's going to give you a barrier if you come over the top of the golf ball. And I think if you are someone that excessively comes over the golf ball and you put that head cover basically just parallel to your foot line on the other side of the ball so that the big part of the head cover is at the back of your stance and the big part, the top of the head cover would be more facing the front of your stance. Then I think if you give yourself that physical barrier, if you do come over the top of the golf ball, you are going to feel it because you're going to hit the object. A club box to where if you're excessively coming over the top of the golf ball, you're going to come crashing into the club box. You could, if you didn't want to do that, you could go ahead and get a golf ball and then take your setup and then put two golf balls. Put one on the inside of your golf ball and one on the outside of your golf ball. And that's going to create kind of a gate for you to swing through. Similar to if you were going to put tees down and you were trying to work on your putting and you were trying to putt through the gate. We've seen Tiger Woods do that to where you're trying to putt through a gate and you're trying to not hit any of the tees. Give yourself some room with your iron, you know, maybe, you know, a club head length, maybe two club head lengths from your golf ball. So golf ball, imagine you address your golf ball and then one club head on the inside, two club heads on the inside, one club head on the outside, one club. So give yourself that gate. Obviously, the more tight and the more close you put that gate, the harder it is. But you're going to get a good idea of what you're doing on if you're hitting the inside ball, if you're hitting the outside ball, and then just working on that path. You could put two clubs down parallel to your foot line, and you could put them on either side of the golf ball and make, you know, a path, a road, something that you could feel like the golf club would go down, a visual, a runway, a road that you could swing down and through, right? So the clubs are pointing, you know, there's an inside club, which would be parallel to your foot line. There would be an outside club, which would be parallel to the other one. And then that's giving you a gate and a roadmap. If you make it wide enough, you're going to be able to see, okay, that's my target line. And all these divots are consistently left. And I can see that because I've got a defined area of where I know my target line is. I've got two clubs down, two alignment sticks down. We see tour players do that all the time. But give yourself that road, give yourself that gate, and then you're going to be able to see how the club is working and then work the opposite. So if these pass or way left, if you can see that with the divot, if you can see that with the path, if you can see that with the number on a launch monitor, then try and work the opposite. So if the path is, you know, 6, 7, 8 degrees to the right, try and get that path, cut it in half, or and say, okay, instead of being massively to the right and I'm overdrawing the golf ball, I'm going to try and say, okay, I'm going to swing what I feel like is more left. If you're slicing the golf ball and you're massively out to in and you're over the top of it and you know that path is massive, say, okay, I'm going to try and feel like I swing more out to the right. If you've ever played baseball, imagine that you're standing at home plate. Second base would be where the target is. And then if you're massively swinging over the top, you would be swinging to third base. So try the opposite. Try and feel like you're going to swing way out to first base. Try and feel like you're going to swing out to the right. And I think having that ability, and then if you can do both, then do both. Say, listen, I'm going to swing left here and see what happens with the golf ball flight. Okay. Now I'm going to feel like I swing to the right and I'm going to see what happens to the ball flight. But working that and working on it to where you're giving yourself some drills, you're giving yourself some barriers. And if you're on a range, there's not a lot of consequence. You're picking out a target. So you're not doing this on the golf course. And I think, you know, these winter months are a really good opportunity for you to work on what your golf swing is doing, what that path is doing. If the golf club's getting in too much on the inside, trying to feel like that golf club's going more on the outside. If the golf club is doing too much of the golf club going out, you can work just mechanics and drills. And this is your technique work, right? There's your execution work when you play, and then there is your technique work. I think the winter months are a really good opportunity for you to work on your putting if you can do this indoors. There's a lot of different putting products out there. Dustin Johnson has one, the Perfect Practice. It's a mat that you put on. Phil Kenyon, who's been on the pod, he has his Vizio mat that you can get online, which you can put tees in. You know, there's a bunch of them that you could buy. You could just work on, you know, your start lines. You know, put a ball down. If you don't have a mat, put a ball down, stick two balls about, you know, 2-3 inches in front of yours, give yourself that gate and see if you can just consistently start the golf ball online. If you're on a putting green and you want to work on this, get a, you know, 3, 4, 5 foot putt, make sure it's relatively straight. And then, you know, do what we talked about, the Tiger Woods drill, to where you're hitting your putts and you're putting tees on the other side of your, on the heel of your putter and on the toe of your putter, and you're putting through a gate. You could do that, and then a little bit bigger than a golf ball, the size of a golf ball, the width of a golf ball, you could put on your intended start line, you could put another gate, and all you're trying to do is not hit the tees as you're coming through impact, and then see if you can consistently start the golf ball on your target line. So I do think that you can, if the length of your backswing with your putter is too long, you could put barriers to say, okay, I'm going to try and shorten or tighten up the length of my backstroke. I see a lot of putters that have that excessively long putting stroke on the backstroke, and then they're decelerating through. So I think in the winter months where you're not really worried about outcome, you're just saying, okay, I'm just going to work stroke mechanics. Is my putting stroke? You can film it. You can film what your stroke looks like. You can film what your body's doing. There's a lot of stuff that you can do in this downtime where you're not playing constantly. So that's yardage check. That's some stuff you can do with your full swing. And then that's some stuff that you can do with your putting. But one of the things that I think is probably one of the easiest low-hanging fruit to improve your golf swing and improve your golf game as we're going into these winter months where we're not going to be playing as much as possible, is to work on your body, is to work on what you're trying to do physically. We've had Dave Phillips on the pod numerous times. He's one of the co-founders of the Titleist Performance Institute. They have a website, mytpi.com. You can go on. They kind of look at their Big 12 swing characteristics of their swing faults, and then they've got physical characteristics that kind of cause all those. So I think the winter months are a great opportunity if you haven't been physically screened. If your golf is important to you, whether you're a competitive golfer, a single-digit handicapper, someone just trying to break 80 or trying to break 90 or 100 for the first time, believe it or not, there are probably some things going on in your body, some physical limitations that you have, and that if you can work on those and clear those and have an understanding as to how those affect your golf swing. I think the biggest physical thing that I see on a regular basis in all the lessons I give, regardless of the handicap level, is what we call early extension. So if you think about your lower body, your pelvis, most golfers, as they're trying to hit the golf ball on the downswing, the lower body, the lower pelvis, the hips, they're getting closer to the golf ball on the downswing. And as a result of that, the upper body has to kind of back up. Their body stalls out. That's what we would call early extension. That's what we would call thrust. That's when your pelvis has an inability to rotate correctly around your lead hip. So if you're a right-handed golfer, that is your left hip. So when we see that early extension and we see that lower body get closer to the golf ball, one of the characteristics that we see with the naked eye when you're looking at your golf swing on video or you're watching your golf swing would be balance and would be seeing how much your weight goes to your toes as you start your downswing. As soon as your weight is going up to your toes in your left foot and your right foot, that means that lower body, your pelvis, is getting closer to the golf ball. And as a result, on the downswing, as that lower body gets closer to the golf ball, your upper body kind of goes backwards. So in reality, what's really happening is you're losing a tremendous amount of rotation in not only your lower body, but your upper body. And a lot of times we'll see this in balance issues. We'll see players that are way up on the toes. And again, if you're hitting golf balls into a net or a driving range or a simulator, one of the great things to work on with your wedges to help get that lower body to start to work better is just to hit kind of a 9-3 if you're a right-handed golfer, 9 o'clock on the backswing with your hand position, 3 o'clock on the follow-through with your hand position, that 9-3, that kind of waist-high back, waist-high through, get a sand wedge, get a pitching wedge, hit some of these and hit them and try and feel like you're hitting these 9-3, so 9 o'clock on the backswing, follow through to 3 o'clock. Try and keep your right heel on the ground through impact. Try and keep your left heel on the ground through impact. I think that's a really good way to start to hit the golf ball solid. I think it's a really good way for you to start to say, oh, wow, when I do that, I hit the golf ball more solid. And when I do that, I feel like my weight is more on your heels rather than my toes. Most really good ball strikers, specifically with their irons, are going to have more weight in their heels than their toes. Most higher handicap golfers tend to get a lot of weight on that downswing. They kind of jump, they get up on their toes, and they just don't hit the golf ball solid. Now, that can be a concept issue to where you don't know you're supposed to have more weight in your heels at impact. You don't know you're supposed to have more weight on your lead foot than your back foot at impact. So if you're a right-handed golfer, you would want to have more weight on your front foot at impact than you would on your back foot. But one of the things in going through a TPI movement screen with a TPI certified fitness trainer is you're going to have an understanding as to, is that a concept issue or is that a physical issue? Do you have really, really tight glutes? Do you really have really, really weak glutes? Do you have the type of job where you sit all day to where you're just in a sitting, sedentary position? Are you in a car? Those type of jobs are not really conducive to a tremendous amount of rotation because you're not doing anything in your daily life that has any rotation. Most golfers are going to the golf course. They're not doing a warm-up. They're not doing a dynamic warm-up. They've been in a car. They've been sitting all day. They just go to the golf course. They do a couple of bullshit stretches that they've maybe seen on TV that don't really have any real effect on anything. Their body's cold, their muscles aren't loose, their muscles aren't warm. And then we get into a golf posture, we bend over, you've been sitting in a desk all day, that lower back is tight, the glutes are switched off, they're weak, your hamstrings are tight, you don't have a lot of rotation, your ability to squat, to stay in that body position is compromised. And then you do all these things that we want you to do in the golf swing. And if you look at three of the most common things that I see from a swing characteristic standpoint, we see players coming over the top. We see a lot of players scooping at impact. We see a lot of players with that chicken wing. So those three golf swing characteristics that I'd say for the majority, I'd say the average golfers that are not trying to play competitively that I teach, the handicap golfers, I would say almost 90% of them come over the top, are scooping the golf ball at impact, have that chicken wing, and have that early extension. The lower body doesn't work well. So if you think about how your body and what we need your lower body to do at impact, having your lower body work correctly, having your lower body work efficiently, having an understanding of how your lower body works in the golf swing, having an understanding that to start the downswing needs to start with your lower body. The downswing doesn't need to start with the upper body. Wanted to take a moment and thank our partners at Rapsodo. If you've been listening to the pod, you know that I'm a big fan of their launch monitors, and I really like the MLM. It utilizes Doppler radar, so you can use it with your iPhone or your iPad. And the thing I like about this, it's under $300, right? So a lot of the launch monitor technology out there, a little bit more expensive. And I think launch monitor technology is getting, you know, cheaper and cheaper because different companies like Rapsodo are saying, okay, how can we help the regular golfers? Yes, if you've got thousands upon thousands of dollars, there are different models you can buy, you see them on tour. But for the everyday golfer that's just trying to get better, you're going to get remarkable accuracy. You can use this indoor or outdoor. It's portable. And the cool thing is, so the shot tracer that we're used to seeing on TV behind all the players shows you the shape of the shot. The MLM has that, has performance combines. And again, as I mentioned earlier, under $300. I just think if you're trying to get better at your golf, having this type of technology for this price allows you to look at a lot of the same numbers that the best players in the world are looking at. So obviously I work with players that are winning majors, winning tournaments, play all over the world. But when I'm not on tour, I work with regular everyday golfers, and I'm always trying to figure out ways that they can get better. And I think for under $300, you can use it with your iPhone. It doesn't really take that much to set up. It's simple to use, and you're going to get really, really good feedback, and you're going to understand your numbers better. They've reacted my promo code just for listeners. Use promo code CH3 for $50 off the MLM plus the Premier membership bundle. The membership unlocks combines as well as session insights, slow motion replay, and video storage up to 10,000 videos. So again, the promo code is CH3 for $50 off the MLM launch monitor plus the premium membership bundle. Rapsodo is making fantastic products. I'm a huge fan. Check them out. They can help you with your game. One of the really good drills that I think is good, and this is great if you're hitting balls into a net. It's great if you're on a simulator or you're on the driving range. Take a 9-iron, a 7-iron, an 8-iron. You can do this off the ground. You can put it on a tee and just say, okay, I'm going to go to the top of my backswing and stop. And then I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And then I'm going to start my downswing and say go. Now, if you're doing this drill, in an ideal world, the downswing would be started by the lower body. The lower body would be the thing that starts the downswing. If you're coming over the top of the golf ball, if you're chicken winging the golf ball or the club through and back with that lead elbow, and you've got that kind of chicken wing elbow, a lot of times that's because that path is working massively from out to in. So you think that it's a path problem, it's an upper body problem. But a lot of times, if we can clean up how the lower body is working, that drill to where if you're coming over the top of it, the arms are really getting steep, and that path is getting to the left. The stop-start drill, to where you're going to the top of your backswing, pausing for one, two, three, and then starting the downswing with your lower body. Now, when we have players do this, a lot of times we'll have players top the golf ball, hit behind the golf ball, shank the golf ball, because their arms are working faster than their lower body. So if your arms are working faster than your lower body, first of all, you want to know is, does your lower body physically have the ability to work in the way that you need it to do? Is it a physical issue? Is it a concept issue? Is it a combo of both? I see a lot of players have that lower body combo to where, one, they didn't realize how much that lower body was getting closer to the golf ball. They didn't realize that that was causing the golf club to land behind the golf ball to get that path to the left. So over the top, that kind of scooping at impact where that left wrist, if you're a right-handed golfer, to where that left wrist kind of breaks down and isn't solid, that also causes that chicken wing. A lot of times we clean up what's happening with the lower body and the domino effect of what that does with the upper body, what that does with the wrist angles, what that does with the downswing really can be a game changer to where I'm a big believer in that the golf swing is a series of dominoes and there's a domino effect. And I think when you're looking at your golf swing, yes, there are a lot of different things going on. It's a dynamic movement pattern. You're swinging the golf club, you know, a second to second and a half to 2 seconds, and the movement pattern is over. And so there's all of these different things. Like if you think about all of your body parts, you think about all the things that are going on. But what tends to happen is there is a flaw, an issue that is the domino that is causing all of the other dominoes. So I think the off season is a really good opportunity for you to look at your golf swing, look at what's happening in your golf swing and saying, okay, what is the big domino that is causing all of the things that are working in my golf swing? What is the one thing that I am doing that is causing everything else to fall in line? Because I hear players all the time say, listen, I'm not trying to come over the top of it. I'm trying to swing more into out. I'm not trying to have the golf club go so inside. I'm trying to have the golf club work more outside. So you're never doing what you're doing in your golf swing because you want to. You're doing what you're doing in your golf swing because, unfortunately, you have to. So I think if you can understand how everything is interconnected, and that's why I think that in the off season, if you can go and go through a physical assessment screen to where you can say, okay, is this me or is this my understanding of the golf swing or my golf swing? So is it my body that's not allowing me to do what I want to do in the golf swing, or do I just not know what I'm supposed to be doing, or I need a better concept? But I think a lot of people listening right now, you have something going on in your golf swing physically that isn't allowing you to do some of the things that you're trying to do from a technique or a technical standpoint. So that's why I think having a physical screen and going and saying, okay, listen, this is what my body can do. This is what my body can't do. This is the things that my body does well. These are the things that my body doesn't like to do. And as a result, now it makes sense as to why I would be swinging the golf club the way that I am, because there's an issue with my physical that is causing an issue with my technique. The way I look at golf swings now is when I look at a player and I look at them swinging the golf club, I know that if they're a higher handicap golfer and they're swinging that golf club from out to in, they're slicing the golf ball. They're not trying to do that. They don't want to do that. They're trying to do the complete opposite. But my brain says, okay, so I'll ask questions. Do you know why you're slicing the golf ball? Yes, the club is working very much from out to in. It's cutting across the golf ball. The face is very open. I'm trying to swing the golf club more into out. Okay. That would be somebody that understands the concept. And then you'll have players that say, listen, I didn't realize I was swinging the golf club so much from out to in. I didn't realize I was so over the top of the golf club. So then you could say, okay. And then if we look at their body and you could say, okay, well, your body is fine. You just don't know that you're not supposed to come over it. So then we can just change what they're doing from a concept standpoint. So I do think that most golfers will fall into that bucket of there's an element of a concept problem, but there is an element of a body position. And if you think about it, right, what I just said, that early extension, that lower body getting closer to the golf ball on the downswing, the upper body goes back, that causes over the top moves, that causes hanging back, that causes weak scooping, poor impact positions, that causes chicken winging, that can cause thin shots, that can cause fat shots, that can cause not center concept or contact. So if we can have a better understanding as to how that pelvis works, get the lower body to rotate, you can do some movement preps and some body preps before you hit golf balls, before you get out on the golf course. That will start to wake up these muscles. That will address what these issues are. I think the off season, and where maybe you're not hitting as many balls on the golf course and scoring and not playing as many rounds as you normally would, I think these are great times to work on the physical things. So you can go on to the MyTPI website. You can look at, find a fitness professional, look at people in your area and sign up. And instead of going taking a lesson, go get physically screened and see if there's some things that you can do from a movement standpoint. But I think this is a really fundamentally important time for everybody listening, regardless of your handicap level. If you don't live in an area to where the weather's good and you can get out on the golf course, I think a lot of people listening are in that kind of time of their golf to where, okay, I'm hitting a lot of golf balls, I'm hitting balls in a net, I'm hitting balls in a simulator, and I'm not getting out on the golf course and playing, scoring, and executing. So for me, this is the time to where you really want to grind out that work on the technique, on your full swing, on your putting, and on your body. Those to me are three areas that if you don't have the opportunity to get out on a golf course, you can really do some things in the off season and work on those three things. And they will really make a massive, massive improvement so that when you do get back out on the golf course, when the weather does start to get a little bit better, you can go and feel like, okay, I've done some stuff in the off season. I've put the work in, not only with my golf swing, but also with my body, with my putting as well. And I'm ready to go and I'm ready to compete. So those are just a few things that I think are really easy to do that you can work on in this off season as the weather starts to get a little bit cooler. And I do think that will have a big effect on your golf game once you get back out and playing on a regular basis. I want to thank everybody for listening. We've got a bunch of great podcasts in the bag. If you haven't listened, if you're new, go back and check them out. I think that if you want to listen to players talk about their game, we've got that. If you want to listen to instructors talk about their game, we've got that. If you are a golf nerd and just want to listen to people geek out, we've got episodes where they're very, very golf specific. And if you want to hear about how golf impacts people's lives that aren't in the golf space, celebrities, musicians, actors, athletes, we've got that too. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.